y'all, and welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast, where we two black 40-something gay men talk about life and all its various parts from our perspectives. I am one of your co-hosts, Dr. Pookie, and always at my side is...
Yes, Dark Boy is here.
Okay. Now, you know, because this is our first mailbag episode, are you going to be Mr. Dark Boy today?
I don't know. I'm a sick dark boy today, but that's a whole other thing.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that in your check-in.
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, as we said, today we are actually going to be doing something a little different. We'll be giving our blacklist after we check in, and then we're going to be answering listener letters for the entirety of the show. And who knows, yes, we might actually get this one done in under an hour. Hope springs eternal.
Maybe.
It's like, you know, we gonna try. That's all we can do. We give it our best effort. And there's always the editing process, you know. But I hate to throw away content, so I just clean it up and put it out there. Alrighty. So, Dark Boy, how was your week?
The week was good. You know, I have turned a year older.
That is
still
right.
Still in my 40s, of course.
But happy birthday.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, then I got sick a little, you know, like 3 days later. So I'm like, okay, you know, that's how it goes.
I feel like it's something going around because I think yesterday I started getting a little scratchy in my sinuses and my throat. And I said, ooh, okay. But I knew I needed some sleep. That was a big part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, who knows? This is the head, because like I'm not coughing. It's not in my chest. It's all just in my head. So,
okay.
You know, had trouble sleeping, but it's like, well, you know, got some good medicine and I slept really good last night.
Okay. Did anybody get on your nerves this week?
No, not really, actually. This week was actually okay.
There were no holes you had to slap?
No.
Damn. All right. One of these days, you're going to have a hoe that you need to slap, and we are going to applaud.
Did you have anybody that you had to slap?
Oh, there were a couple.
Oh. Mm.
Oh, gosh. Yesterday was absurd. Every time I was trying to get somewhere, somebody was driving stupid. And it was so funny because in my Buddhist study group, yesterday morning, you know, someone had said, like, if you're driving and someone does something that's really unsafe or just kind of rude and you get upset with road rage or even just kind of shake your head or, you know, when you get to them and you drive by them, you know, when you're stopping at a light or something and you have to look over there and kind of mad dog them. He was like, that's ego. And I said, uh-huh. I said, and I ain't letting that shit go either. But I did, you know, on the way to that meeting, I encountered like two people that just, I don't know what they were doing behind the wheel. They needed their licenses taken away. And then...
Were they driving a Prius?
One of them was, yes. And like doing
the thing about some of those Prius drivers. Sorry to say that, but
they were doing like 15 and a 30, and I'm like, bitch, move. And you know, and of course, because this was pre, you know, conversation about ego, I did have to, you know, pass them. And as I passed, I looked over there like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was a little raggedy, I'll admit that, yesterday morning. And then in the afternoon, I still encountered a lot of folks, but I just kept saying, it all returns to the breath. Breathe. Focus there. Don't focus on the fact that you want to slap the hell out of somebody. Hold on 1 second. I'm getting a call from my beloved mother. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I think I was talking about folks driving, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So after that, I just kept saying, okay, breathe. Just breathe. Their behavior, their actions have nothing to do with you. These people don't know you. Blah, blah, blah. With some degree of success, you know. I was still annoyed, but I resisted the urge to look at Mad Dog anyone and just went on about my day.
True tests will come now if it happens, like, when the next time it happens, I guess, right?
And also at the airport where, you know, folks are not handling their business at, you know, the checkpoint, and flights are maybe delayed, or folks won't get me my damn Doritos fast enough. You know, that kind of thing. But otherwise, this week for me has been, it has been a grind. Because, you know, I'm getting ready for next week. I leave Monday morning for Boston for an entire week. And it's going to be a grind, I'm sure. and it'll actually be worse than this week, because it'll basically be, you know, anywhere from 14 to 16, if not 18-hour days. So it'll be rough. But I got an update on one of the days, though. One of the days is not nearly as crazy as I anticipated. So I thought it was like a full day of training, but it's actually a half day of some sort of training, I think. But they're doing like a historical tour for us in the morning, along with lunch.
Okay, that sounds nice.
Yeah, so that could be nice. So if I have an 8:30 a.m. Departure time in me next Wednesday, then I will give it. Otherwise, I will not. And I will see them at, I guess, around 1. But yeah, so that's basically it. There were plenty of hoes I wanted to slap this week, but I kept my hands to myself because, you know, assaults and felonies and all, we don't need those.
Yeah. Not trying to catch a case or anything, right?
Exactly. As I told somebody earlier this week, because they were like, I'm about to beat that bitch ass. And I said, sister, you too old for that shit now. Those are now cases. And she looked at me like, oh, you right? I said, yeah, I don't want to be right about that, but I am. You can't just go beating folks' asses now. Because people can press charges, and that is a problem. So even if you got to throw them hands with great efficiency and ferocity, it's still a problem. So, yeah. But okay, let us move into the blacklist. And that is Dark Boy's domain, so I shall shut up
yes.
now.
So for this one, we thought we would do some of our favorite Tumblr blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we only picked 3. Now, I know both of us have following way more than 3, but
I'm following 769.
Ooh, I'm like 1,100 and something, so.
Exactly. So this is not truly our top 3. These are just 3 that were probably near the top of our following list or top of mind. Are yours ranked or in no particular order?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're ranked. I mean, you know, 3-2-1, but...
Okay. But they're not the ultimate 3-2-1.
Yeah, I would say, because it's... When you have that many, honestly, it's like, I just...
Yeah.
There's too much. There's too many. Too many.
So. Yeah, and I would say about 97-98% of my Tumblr blogs are basically filth. Because, you know, Tumblr is very good at that.
Yeah. Although I don't think they necessarily want it to be that way. I think it's...
Probably
it
not.
It just is that way.
But I appreciate that, you know, they allow us to have our filth on demand. And actually, you know, the human form and all the things it can do are certainly not filthy. But, you know, yeah. We're sex positive around here.
Yes.
But, you know, we still use language that's not sex positive.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you know I do. I'm just like, but I'm like, do your thing. But, ooh, you nasty. So, it's like, but yeah, you're not really nasty. But, oh, yeah, scandalous. But, okay. So, who's first then? So, this is actually our
first.
Tumblr blog's volume 1. We might have 10 volumes and still not
yeah,
scratch
who
the
knows?
Surface. But this is volume 1. So, you're going to go first?
Yep.
All right.
So, my number 3, this one is not a quote-unquote filthy one, though.
Okay.
My number 3 is one called Black B. bearded men.
I almost put that on my list, but I said no. Oh. I was feeling really filthy this, you know. So as I was double checking and confirming my list, I said, no, I'm going to lead him off. But yeah, I do like that side as well.
Yeah, because that one, they have a lot of really good pictures. I don't know if they have quote-unquote filth on this one, but to me, I just see them. They have pictures of men, black men, that have really, really nice beards, all different kind of shapes and sizes and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I have a beard, although it's nothing like these guys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's always fun to look at them and admire and, you know just... Like the beauty that they're, you know, mm-hmm. they are showing through their beards.
Yeah, and I actually appreciate this particular Tumblr because the photography is really good. You get a higher grade. I think, you know, a lot of the pictures are probably taken with iPhones and other smartphones and, you know, it's high def photographs.
But really good ones, though.
Yes. And, yeah. And, you know, the men generally are wearing clothes or maybe they're topless. You know, there are a couple of underwear shots, but mostly they're in clothing. Very handsome men, very luscious lips, you know, just they are beautiful beards. I am a lover of beards, so it's like, it is like porn for me. They don't have to be naked for it to be porn. I can get excited, you know, by a nice pair of khakis.
Just from that.
Yeah, you know, a nice pair of khakis catching some thighs and some calves and some ass, and then you got a nice, nice beard on that. Oh, my gosh, yes. So, wonderful, wonderful Tumblr blog. I will just warn our listeners that all three of mine are, in fact, nasty. Featuring nudity and things of that nature.
Okay.
Do we have any more we want to say about this one?
Nope. That was it.
All righty. So my number three is called Smutters. I'm sorry. See, I can't even spell this morning. Smutters. And it basically is, what is it? Bears, chubs, grown men of color. It's just...
Okay. I've never heard of this one.
Oh, yeah. Smutters is an oldie but goodie. There used to be... There probably still is, like, a Yahoo group. Smutters used to be that. You know, and it was just, like, picture posting. And, you know, it was just all these different men of color. And this was, you know, before the beard era really came in. Yes, you had lots of pictures of, you know, brothers, Latino, API, Middle Eastern, you know, just men of colors in various states of undress, many of them undressed, a good number.
More undressed than dressed?
Undressed is dressed, you know, birthday suits.
No, but still more undressed?
Are
there more naked ones then?
you get on Smutters, you'll get like some picture sets. It'll start with the guy fully clothed and end up, you know, perhaps with his brown eye winking at you. or just, you know, his glands all greased up and sparkling in the light. You know, or in some cases, just kind of laid back, seductive with the balls and a dick out, and other times, raging hard on and still laid back, like, you coming to get this? So Smutters is definitely, you know, it's a nice go-to if I need to see some colorful men off the beaten track of what we normally see in a lot of our gay media. I mean, there are guys that, you know, have some, you know, some defined muscle, low body fat content guys, but these are mostly like, you know, they're cuddly. It's like, you know, they are dad bods plus. But handsome nonetheless. So what's your number two?
My number two, now this is maybe a filthy one. Okay. it's called My Big Black Boss.
I've heard of that one.
Well, this is one where it's like the, you know, this one has naked people in it, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's more like the black man runs a company or he's a boss of something and he's dicking all his people down. So there's something about that I like.
Yeah, it's like a fantasy Tumblr kind of thing where, and they'll have like little stories in there with the pictures, I think.
Yes. I mean, they'll have like, yeah, like kind of like a made up scenario story to describe the scene that you're looking at. So there's something about that one because it's a black man in power and all these people are, I mean, basically it's the name of it implies that they work for him and he's the boss and bitch, if you want to keep your job, you're going to do this. You know, it's that kind of a thing, but it's kind of funny in a way.
Oh yeah. You That's know? Like also like those black master looking for white slave sites. Some of those are hilarious. Yeah. Cause I sit there like, okay, y'all have taken this shit too far. I need to get up out of here. you know, but it's like, as soon as you subscribe to any of the blogs on Tumblr, they'll start suggesting other ones similar to it. And that's how you, that's how your list balloons, by the way.
It wasn't, that's how my ass got up to 1,100. So
yeah, I mean it really. I remember when I only followed like 10 Tumblrs, and that's funny now.
It's like, yeah. Well, I remember when I was like in 50 something, and I thought that was a lot.
Yeah, it's like, but you just because you also you get the ones where there is someone that's really curating content for you, which is really kind of cool because they have a particular aesthetic that they search for and they share, and those are really cool. It's kind of like, you know, my number two, although it's a grab bag, but mine is Jockstraps Galore 09.
Okay.
Because I love a man in a strap. It's like, you know, it provides wonderful framing of the bootay. I like a nice waistband, and you know, you get like some nice bold branding and things like that on a waistband. And of course, you know, the cod piece, so to speak, the cradle of the jewels. It's a nice visual. So yeah, jockstraps galore, you know, it is a grab bag. There are other jockstrap tumblers that I like that feature more specific types of men in jockstraps, but this is a nice catch-all for anyone that is a fan of the jockstrap. You got twinks, you got daddies in there, you got some thicker men in there. You know, I think, isn't there like a jockstrap site for gingers as well?
Oh, I don't know.
I think there actually is a ginger jockstrap group as well as a ginger underwear group. And of course, those gentlemen may start in their underwear and end up, you know, flashing all the bush. Yes, but yeah, that Tumblr's fun. But I see where...
I don't need to be adding more to my list.
I know. Well, I think... I remember one night we sat there at the coffee house, and I think we added about 15, 20 Tumblrs to one another's list. So I was like, have you seen that one? I was like, no, what's that one? So, and I said, ooh, that's baby daddy quality there. I was like, what's that group? You know. So, yeah, it's scandalous. I have some other Tumblr groups, and maybe I'll share one that's not so prurient next time, but you know, I do like me a little nudity.
To me, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. The human body is beautiful in its many forms, shapes, and colors, and sizes. I do like a big man. I'd lost my thought. Oh, well. Okay, what's your number one?
My number one is one called Strong Black Berries.
Oh, I had not seen that one.
So this one's kind of like a mix. I mean, they'll have people that are, it'll have like some of the men that you might see like in the Black Bearded Men.
Okay, lovely.
But then you'll have some that are totally naked. You'll have some men in jock straps like the one you just talked about. So it's kind of a mix of all different ones. Again, some are naked, some are clothed, really high professional looking, high quality professional looking pictures. So it's kind of a mix of everything. And maybe that's why I like it too.
And that was Strong Blackberry?
Berries. Yes.
See, this is how our lists explode. Okay, I'm going to look that one up. Because, you know, if you got a brother in a strap, I'm like, okay, shit. It's like, especially with a beard, we got too much going on now. If the head is bald, you know, I might have to throw my drawers at him. But, okay, you know, I'm just saying. Those are my buttons. Yes. Okay, so my number one.
Yeah,
you know,
you're number one.
Yeah, I'm going to tell on myself with this one. Okay. It is Black Older Stud Dreams.
Stud? Black yes. Older Stud?
Uh-huh. Black okay. Older Stud Dreams with the Z on the end. No S.
Okay.
Yeah. And this one is basically, it features black men that definitely are not in their 20s, by and large. There are a couple of younger ones, because there aren't, it's not a ton of photos out there of older black men. So sometimes they'll be like, oh, like that group Black Daddies, they'll be like, yeah, this is somebody's daddy, but the baby is two, you know. It's like, that's, that ain't nobody's daddy. You must, you know, I was like, it's somebody's daddy, but he ain't a daddy. And so this group, lovely, if you are into the more seasoned man, particularly this more seasoned black man, this is definitely a good place to check out. But yeah, it's a really cool site. Gives you a variety of, you know, the more mature man, serving you face, body, booty, balls, and peignoir. So.
And what?
Peignoir. Penis. Good old black penis. Yes. So, yeah, I'm going to try to keep myself halfway under control this morning, but we're talking about black penis. That's a wonderful thing. But alrighty. So.
Alright.
Yeah, so those were our. That concludes volume one of our favorite tumblers.
Yes, we'll have to have probably several volumes.
Yeah, we will. You know, because I mean, and it's also. It's the blacklists are kind of hard to come up with sometimes. Like some weeks we're like, oh yeah, that's a good one. That one really came to mind quick. Other times it's like pulling teeth. So yeah. So, you know, it won't necessarily be like, oh, we couldn't think of nothing, we just gonna do tumblers, but you know, we've been talking about tumblers since the first episode, so we finally
finally did it.
Yeah, we finally put our big boy drawers on and did one. So alrighty, so I guess we will move into our mailbag. Have about, if we want to hit that 1 hour mark, we have about 38 minutes or so of letters from our listeners and the archives. So let's get into them. You want to go first or shall I go first?
You should go first. I went on the blacklist. So yes.
Okay. So the first letter I pulled out of the archive was from Miss Paula. And she wants to know. Yes, Paula. And of course, I had to edit these because people all, you know, they tend to run a little long. And I found that I get in trouble when I don't edit. So, Paula wrote loosely, I'm wondering what I should be doing when my man is fucking me. I don't know if I should play with his nipples, put my hands around his neck, wrap my legs around his waist, or if I should talk dirty to him. I feel a bit clueless. Advice.
I do think, well, I don't think you can just lay there.
No, you can't do that, girl. Unless the dick is just that good and where you can't even function, then he'll understand.
Yeah, <It's>
like, but be ready to tweak something to keep it that good.
Yeah, I do think like putting your arms around, like getting like behind his head or something, or the thing with the legs. Also, I just think sometimes, I think to prove that you're really into it, I mean, you could, how can I say, like raise your, again, assuming you're missionary, whatever, I mean, raise your hips up to meet his, so that way, you know, dick's going in faster and deeper, I suppose. I would, you know, rather you're not just laying there, but you're actually you know, doing stuff to help get it, you know, get the dick in there. And mm-hmm. I think it, you know, will, I guess, be more, you know, show more enthusiasm, you know.
Yeah.
And the dirty talk, maybe that's a thing too. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
To me, I always think it comes across as being, sometimes it could come across being cheesy, like you've
yeah, taken you have a line to commit
straight out of a porno movie.
Yeah, you have to commit if you're going to do the dirty talk. You can't you can't half-ass that. It's going to come out as very inauthentic.
Yeah, like you just copied it from a porno.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he is throwing a dick that good, Paula, and you have to sound like Jennifer Holliday, you know, talking about I am changing or you gonna love me, damn it, that's what it is. I think all the things you said in your letter are all things, yeah, if you are comfortable. I mean, the dirty talk is kind of an optional thing if you're not, if that's your thing, if you can really get into that, or just, you know, just really submit to how you're feeling, then go and do that. But your hands should be busy. You know,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can, depending on the positions, you can certainly usually reach his nipples. You can play with those. I think that, let me step back. The primary responsibilities, if you are, you know, if somebody is fucking you, is first of all, is to take the dick. And second, to communicate how good the dick is. Now, you don't have to say a damn thing. Your eyes could be rolled back in your head, and that tells him plenty. You could be biting your lip. You could have that eye contact where you just look crazed because he hitting that spot, and you can't, you trying your best to contain and not scratch the, just take all the skin off his back. If you are riding him, definitely talk dirty because you're in control at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
You running that shit, you know. And if you want to be like, yeah, this is my dick, damn it, I'm riding that shit. You own it. You gonna keep up, daddy? You keeping up? Come on, don't come weak. You know, you can go there. It's like I am having a flashback. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, I that's. Think so.
But you can talk dirty from the bottom now too. You know, I mean, if you that girl that you like, ooh, motherfucker, you better fuck me, you know, then yes, go there. But you got to be authentic. You got to be committed. You got to believe what you saying to him. And I think the big thing is, even if you don't say a word, you have to show enthusiasm. I think Dark Boy mentioned that earlier. You have to show appreciation. You know, folks always talk about throwing it back at him when you and doggy. You can certainly throw it back at him. If you and missionary, you can, you know, like Dark Boy said, raise them hips and throw it at him, match his rhythm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, and again, you don't have to say anything. You can match, because maybe he's just, you know, he's getting his thrust on, but it's not like he's not slapping up against you. You know, he's not giving you all the dick, and you want him balls deep. Then you can raise up and be like, no, motherfucker,
raise
come
those
on.
Hips. Yeah.
And not say a word, but just throw it at him. Just bring it to him. Be like, yeah, I need to hear your skin slapping against mine. I want to feel your balls up against my asshole. This how I want this. And trust me, he will respond accordingly.
Yeah, that will kind of, if he's being a little timid, I guess, timid is probably not the right word, but
mm-hmm.
that will give him permission to say, okay, she ready for all this. So that's how I would take it.
I mean, and that's the other thing with the more timid guy. If you guys are relatively new to this, or his style tends to be more romantic, and you like, no, I need to be fucked tonight. Like, you can make love to me tomorrow, but tonight I need you to fuck me. You have ways of communicating that without hurting his feelings. Because you could be like, oh yeah, harder, harder, yeah. You know, you can direct traffic, but you can also work them hips to let him know. You can... You can definitely, one thing that, you know, if I'm in some stuff, I appreciate when a gentleman will actually, if he's flexible enough, this is, he will take his, grab his ankles and throw it all the way back. And you'd be like, oh, because then that's like an invitation to truly dive in there, balls deep. You want skin slapping. You want to commingle the sweat.
See, that's you want that.
Yes.
That I don't want to say permission, but I can't think of a different word. But it's like, you know, that's like a nonverbal. It's like a nonverbal communication. It's like, hey, you know, here's your chance. Take it all or something like that. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, there are lots of things you can do, but I would say sex should be fun. And if you can communicate that you're having fun, because sometimes you might come across that man who's like a power fucker, and you're like, sweetie, I can't handle all that. That scares me. Your dick is just really visually, I'm not convinced I can take it. And you're just not loosening up enough to even have fun because you're scared or you're anxious. He needs to be able to read your cues, but you've got to give him cues is the point. If he doesn't understand, like some guys with big dicks, they know their dick is big. But some of them try to act arrogant like they don't know. And, you know, you got to kind of let them know, like, look, now, I'm not trying to get a hysterectomy here, so I'm going to need you to ease on in there. I'm going to need you to talk me through this shit. And then once I'm comfy with you, I'll bust it wide open. And at that point, you know, yeah. And also, if you on top of your Kegels, you know, you can always see, that's one of the things. I was like
about squeezing.
Yeah, that's when you'd be like, hold up. You know, when he go in there and you snatch him, you'd be like, hold up. Okay, now look, you doing too much or you not doing enough? So, without pleading the fifth, I'll just say that. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, my mama do listen to this show from time to time. Some secrets do need to be retained or at least not confirmed. But who am I kidding? All righty. So, Paula, that's all I got for you, girl.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So, who you got?
So, we have Damon.
Okay, David.
Damon.
Oh, Damon. Sorry. If you speak a little louder, it'd be helpful.
Okay. So, Damon is currently in college, and he recently found one of his old high school teachers on one of the hookup apps.
Oh, lovely.
So he has been flirting with this former teacher of his online, and the teacher then invited him to come play with him and his partner. So Damon's wondering, should he take part in this three-way, or is this just too weird?
And this is a high school teacher?
It's a high school teacher, but who, yeah.
Okay.
But Damon's now in college. So Damon himself is in college.
Okay.
Lusting after one of his high school teachers.
So I'm going to take a sex positive approach to this. Damon, you grown. If you want that, go get it. It sounds like the teacher would not mind having a piece of you. And you've been invited into a nice, you know, three-way with an established couple. Those are fun. But I would certainly recommend, because you a young thing, you might not know all the craziness out there. Certainly do a little research to understand what goes on in a three-way and how emotions can kind of get inflamed. Not just because you've been invited by this couple does not mean both members of the couple are as enthusiastic by by your presence. And that, I could be completely off base here. I'm just talking about worst case scenario. But certainly there is an etiquette to being the third in a three-way. You want to make sure that you distribute her attention relatively equally. If you're into one partner more than the other, that can be a little dicey, but there are ways to take care of both of them. You know, you might be like, yeah, I do not want to look up at you fucking me, or I don't want to look down at your face while I'm fucking you, so I'm just going to suck your dick or make you suck mine. Meanwhile, I'm fucking your husband through the mattress. Because, you know, he's why I'm here. There are ways to negotiate that, and certainly you'll get wise the more you do it. But I'll recommend a little research beforehand. Best case scenario, everything's on the up and up. You're into both of them. Hell, go have fun. Yeah. You know, wrap it up. Get your prep. And wrap it up. And also, don't be a floozy. Clean your parts. Have them ready for business. Whether that be balls, dick a hole, whatever. No halitosis.
Have it all clean. Yes.
Be a good guest. Respect the house.
My thing is, you know, I understand, I guess, why he asks at the end, is it too weird?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, it's the relationship that you had, you know, teacher-student, you know? And so even though he has graduated high school and has moved on into college, I guess in that still, he still has that relationship on his mind, or, you know, embedded in, you know, in him somehow. So I could see why he says it's weird, but you're grown. Just like you said, Dr. Pookie, he's grown. Yeah. Teacher's grown. If you want him and he wants you and the partner also wants you and all this, then to me, that is nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong.
That's it.
Just like I said, just make sure you wrap up. Make sure you're clean. Make sure, you know, you're taking all the precautions or whatever that you would anyway. And have fun.
Yeah, it's like, until you've built up, you know, a certain level of trust with these two, you know, bring your own water or your own drink. you know, you don't just, you know, it's like, yeah, you consented to have sex, but unfortunately, there are folks out there that will maybe negotiate with you that, yeah, this is the extent of what we'll do. You know, we'll use safer sex practices and all that. And then they slip you something and they do whatever they want. It's always a possibility. So, you know, if I'm out doing my thing, I always carry my own beverage. I carry one with me. I have a backup in my hoe bag, and I also have a backup in the car. It's just, I get a little thirsty, I'm cool. You know, and yeah, but have fun. You know, teacher, I will have to say, while I have been involved in flirtation with a former teacher, and I've had former students of mine flirt with me. And I've been like, world's too small for me. Where I'm just like, nah, I don't need you to be talking about, you know, Dr. Pookie and I, you know, we rolled around. Now, there were some students that I was like, ooh, get away from me. but it's like, I mean, I had some students where I'm like, ooh, my gosh, in about 15 years, you are going to be dangerous. I don't need to run into you. Nowhere. Yeah, and for the record, I teach at the university and college level, so don't be. You can unclutch your pearls,
grown kids.
People. Grown-ass people. Hell, some of them older than me. But it's like, but yeah, I would say I definitely understand any apprehension about, oh, it's, you know, it's Mr. So-and-so, but he's always going to be Mr. So-and-so, but now your relationship with him has another layer, perhaps another level of depth, and nothing wrong with that. You're now consenting adults, and yeah, just have fun. Hell.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I say.
You only live once. That's what they say. YOLO. But yeah, if you want to go pole dancing, damn it, you go pole dancing. Get that. But yes. So, okay. All right. But yeah, be a good guest, you know.
Yeah.
And do your homework. All right.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, do your homework. You don't want to walk into nothing crazy.
I know, okay. But it's just weird. He's going to do his homework to go with his former teacher.
Well, yeah, that too. You know, be like, hi, can I get some nudes? And hey, you know, what are y'all into? This is what I'm into. I'm open to exploring this or that. Like, have you cataloged, Damon, with, you know, your proclivities and your interests and your specialties? You know, it's...
He has to give his teacher a homework assignment.
Yeah, you know,
or his former teacher a homework assignment.
Exactly. I mean, I have one friend that has had relations with a former professor. and he actually explored BDSM with that professor and is definitely, you know, he's now a BDSM practitioner.
Oh.
Yeah, he kind of got initiated by this professor and now has his own collection. He is, you know, transitioned into... I forget what the proper, because there's the terminology and then there's what he calls himself, but he has a couple of boys, we'll call it that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he has like two boys and a pup and a slave. And so, you know, but he learned the ropes from a professor of ours. And, you know, I just remember when he told me, I was like, wait, really? Him? Wow. Because the guy did not give you BDSM vibes at all.
He hit it well.
Yes, he hit it well. And, you know, he actually said that he would actually, usually when he wore like a sport coat when he was teaching, he actually had a harness on under it.
Oh.
And I said, oh, is that, was that the wardrobe code? And he was like, I said, ooh. I was like, because he didn't always wear a sport coat, you know, but he would, his clothes were always kind of close. They fit him. And so you couldn't get away with wearing anything under that unless you had on a sport coat. Okay. And so, and, you know, you would have just like a hint of it and you would think, oh, he must have like a medallion or something that's tucked into his shirt. You know, you'd never realize like, oh, that's a harness. You know, he wasn't my cup of tea, so I never really looked at him that closely, but I was like, okay. But yeah. But okay.
Yeah,
Damon, have fun with that.
Yes.
Okay. You know, you can always write back and let us know how that goes.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. But okay. So I have a letter here from Tyrell.
Okay.
Either Tyrell or Terrell. He says, I am a bisexual guy. I'm currently in a relationship with a woman, and things are great. There is just one issue. Isn't there always?
Yeah, there's always one thing.
Yeah, there's always one thing.
And it's a big thing, usually.
Oh, it's a big thing? All right. She does not like the way that I give her head. I've always thought that I had good technique and strong interest in taming a wild kitty. I love that. A man after my own heart. Wild kitty. Now I'm starting to wonder, what's my deal? Most of the time when I think about sex with her, I'd rather have a dick in my mouth. This is kind of a new normal for me, and I don't know what to make of it. Do I tell her what's going on? I did ask her what gets her off, and she yelled that I would, that I should be able to figure it out if I really cared about her.
Oh, you're already wrong with that.
Red flag, Tyrell. He's like, I was falling She's in wrong. Love with her, and now I'm falling out of love, but I don't want to ghost her. What should I do? This is why I review letters, because Tyrell, you went completely in another direction on us.
Yeah, the ghosting part I didn't expect.
So should we break this down in parts?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think... I mean, if you want, if, well, I, to me, I think if he was going to ghost her, he would have already done it. He wouldn't have written a letter. So,
yeah,
there's got to be something there that he wants to either fix it or stay or give it another chance. First, I would say, I think she's wrong for saying, well, you got to figure it out.
Oh, yeah, she's totally wrong about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, person's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And if he's just totally wrong, if he's totally wrong and just not doing anything right, then there just needs to be some guidance from her telling him mm-hmm. what she likes. I mean, he has to be open to hearing it, which it sounds like he is. And she has to be willing to tell him what works, mm-hmm. which right now it doesn't sound like she's doing that. It just sounds like I've heard of stories like this where the women are just like, well, he's supposed to just already know. I'm like, no, you're supposed to know.
Yeah. And
if he happens to not be doing it right, you then direct him to what's going to work right. Because they, as far as I know, they ain't no roadmap for how it's going to work for everybody. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it seems a little manipulative for her to say you would be able to figure it out if you really cared. That's just classic manipulation. And so, Terrell, I would advise you to kind of close the book on her, because she seemed a little toxic to me. I think the thing that's also very interesting is that it seemed like things were going well in a relationship, but then she criticized your head game, and
now you want dick in your mouth instead.
Yeah, because it was like, you were cool and you thought you were doing a good job, and then she told you weren't, and then she came at you with the whole you would figure it out thing, and now all you can think about is dick in your mouth. And I mean, sure, you probably do want some dick in your mouth. You are bi, so that opens up a whole different set of sexual activity for you, including some things that she's simply not going to be able to deliver. silicone advancements have come a long way, but she doesn't have a penis, so you're not going to be able to suck her dick. But I think that her comment has really kind of turned you off, and I think if you want to be with her, you know, regardless of whether I think she might be a little toxic here, you need to actually say to her, no, this is your pussy. You need to tell me how you want it eaten, or I can continue to explore and figure out what works for you. But there is a whole
catalog. But then don't be frustrated.
Yeah.
Don't be frustrated when it takes too long.
I was like, you need to tell me what's going to work for you. Am I going too slow? Am I going too fast? Do you need more vaginal stimulation? You need a finger in there? You know, do you need me to speed bag the clitoris? What do you want me to do here? She has to open her damn mouth and if she's not going to give you verbal guidance in that way of saying, okay, I like this, and then I want you to, you know, I want you to open a labia and I want you to do this, if she's not going to give you that kind of guidance, she at least needs to groan. She needs to grind them hips when you hit in the right spot or when you're doing something that she likes. And it seems to me that your head was fine at one point. I don't know. I mean, you don't.
Maybe she just didn't say anything, and now she's getting frustrated because.
Well, yeah,
he ain't getting it right yet. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because it's so. I don't know. I do think that sex is all about communication. That's the best thing I can tell you. It's communicating. It's not just about the sensations and the feelings. It's also communicating how you feel about someone. It's acknowledgement of how much you think of them and that you want them to achieve and experience as much pleasure as possible. You want to fulfill their wildest fantasies. That, to me, is what sex is about. And, you know, no matter what language we use to talk about it and just like, oh, motherfucker, fuck me, you know, whatever that is, it still comes down to this idea of I appreciate you and I want to make sure that you get as many, if not all, of your needs met in your sexual experiences with me. It's a way for me to connect with you. It's a way for us to connect and really be very much on target with what we are doing here. And so I think it's just really kind of harsh on her part that she's not willing to communicate with you. The whole thing about while you're performing cunnilingus on her, that feels so clinical. While you are...
It does. Going yes, down.
Okay, while you were going down and sorting out the pages in her box, the fact that you basically are like, I just want a dick in my mouth, that's an issue. And I don't know if that means that her vagina's not enough and you need to incorporate a third, preferably with the penis. Or, dare I say, Tyrell, that maybe, just maybe, you could be deluding yourself and you only want penis. How much, you know, you didn't really talk about why the relationship was great, you know, what was great about it. I mean, it really became like a, you know, I assumed the sex was good, then she said it wasn't, and then y'all had a blow up, and now your mind is gone on, it's gone to guys and anyone but her, and you're falling out of love with her, but you don't want to ghost her. I think you guys need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And it needs to involve the sexual. Maybe you don't tell her about, while I'm eating your cooch, I'm thinking about sucking dick.
I wouldn't tell that, because then that's going to be she's going to blame that's the reason why you're not doing it right.
Not only
and
that,
she will,
but that's just
and
hurtful.
She will not give you instructions on what to do.
I mean, well, not only that, but that's I feel like that's really just kind of hurtful. And it's not to say that every woman is going to see it this way, but this is a woman who's in a relationship with a bisexual man. And that's kind of a loaded thing. There are a lot of insecurities that can emerge around dating a bisexual man, particularly for women. I don't know what ethnic group this woman is from. But if it is, you know, your garden variety black woman, she's probably very concerned about the fact that you wouldn't mind a little dick as well. And so you can't tell her that.
Well, I'm assuming he's out to her about that already, that he's bisexual.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's made a lot of concessions and sorted through a lot of shit in her head to be able to date him. Because, I mean, this whole DL phenomenon that we had, you just had a lot of black women that were like, oh, no, I can't. Mm-mm. Look at what happened on Insecure with Molly. Her man got a blowjob 15 years ago and decided he did not like it. He was in college where she was fucking around and had relationships with women. He didn't have a problem with that, but he got a blowjob from one guy one night while drunk and said, yeah, this ain't for me. She's still tripping. That's a response that may seem more likely, maybe not exactly that way, but that there's going to be issues with that. Like, a woman is going to be like, okay, but what's, you said that, but I don't know. And this whole DL thing is out there, and I don't want, you know, it's just, I think that, and she may just be a free spirit that accepts, you know what, we are monogamous, you're with me, I trust you to have sex with just me. And she may not be tripping about that. But because we don't know, I'm just saying that you cannot sit there and tell this woman, yeah, while I'm giving you oral sex, I'm really thinking about another guy's dick in my mouth. No. You can't tell any woman that, unless that's her thing. Like, if she wants to see you having sex with another man, then okay. If she's into cuckoldry, you know, where she's fucking another guy and maybe you have to suck the guy's dick, you know, or suck her juices off his dick, then okay. Then that's in play. You know, and there's a whole subsection of porn that can show you all that shit, and there are rules around that too. But yeah, Tara, you can't tell her that. And you've got to decide whether you're in or you're out of this relationship. And what you really want. you know, I'm not going to question your bisexual bona fide, so to speak. I'm just going to say that based on what you've said, it's possible that you may be, what is it, hetero-attracted, but homoerotic, and yeah, there's a thing where you can date and have a relationship and build a life with one gender, but you can still have just sex with the with you know, a different gender.
Yeah, and I don't know what the, I think I know what term you're talking about, but I don't know which one, what it is.
I've heard it described, and the vocabulary is escaping me at this point, but there are people out there that are like, yeah, I can have sex with anyone. You know, you can have a woman that's like, I can have sex with a man, woman, anywhere on a gender spectrum, but I only see myself marrying a man. I don't want to marry another woman. I don't want to marry a trans woman. I want, you know, a big hairy chest to rest my head on when I sleep every night, you know, or I want a man around the house and we're in partnership and I'm mad at him because he keeps leaving his drawers on the bedroom floor. You know, there's a term for that. And I know it has to do with like erotic. I think it's like heteroerotic and homo, you know, and vice versa. Attracted or something like that. Oh, romantic. It has romantic and something else. My brain's not going to conjure it up at this point. But yeah, Tyrell, I think you need to dig a little deeper. You shouldn't. I mean, it's one thing to maybe get a little charge or have a little flashback about someone else while you're having sex with the woman you claim to be falling in love with, but you really shouldn't be having it on this level. I don't know. Did she have anything else, Starboy? Because I know I went on a monologue there for a while.
The only thing I would say is I think for women, I keep hearing this. I think the ladies, they just have to ignore this thing out there, this message, whatever that they're getting, that they can't talk about what they enjoy about sex. So this lady, she just, whatever that is, just get over it. Find out what you like about sex. Tell him. Tell Tyrell what is going to work. Just get over it. It's not going to stop until people start pushing against it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because men already know their bodies from the time they are teenagers. They know what works, what feels good, and women don't seem to be given that same permission. Well, I said, just take it. Just do it. Do whatever you need to do. Safely, of course.
Yeah.
And find out what works, find out what feels good, and be able to communicate to other people so you don't have to write into any show asking for advice or have your man asking for advice on how to figure out what's going to work for you. You already know, and you can tell him yourself.
Exactly. And I mean, I think looking at it, you know, if the roles were reversed, I don't know a guy that would say to you, well, if you love me, you figure it out. He's directing traffic.
Because he wants it to feel good.
Yeah, he wants his dick sucked. He does not want a toothy blowjob. You know, if you are comfortable enough, he will take that head and guide you to the desired depth and all that. I mean, I think in terms of communication with her, Tyrell, if she goes to this whole thing of you should be able to figure it out, you'd be like, you know what? I want to figure it out. However, this is not on me alone. We need to do this together. You need to talk to me. You need to let me know what's working, what's not working. And we can have a conversation beforehand and then in the middle of it, because you don't want to be directing traffic in the middle of sex. Give me some physical cues to let me know that's working, or if you just kind of lie there, then I know what I'm doing is not really thrilling you. Does she want orgasms from this? I mean,
yeah, exactly. Does she want it?
Yeah, I mean, does she want the dick for orgasms, or is your tongue what she want? Does she want both? Because, you know, women tend to be multi-orgasmic, so. And men can as well, but it takes some practice. It takes some practice because it's not. For those that don't know, Men typically have an orgasm every time we ejaculate, but those are two separate things. Orgasm typically occurs right before you ejaculate. It's kind of like getting to the top of the hill on the roller coaster, and you just kind of sit there and keep riding it, but you never quite fall over. It's like, but it takes some practice and some discipline to get to that level and not ejaculate. If you want to look into male orgasms, look into tantric sex. There's a book out there called The Multi-Orgasmic Man. I can't promise links in the notes this time because I still got work to do and I'm going out of town.
Yeah.
So I'll be lucky to get this episode edited because we are now over an hour and we're only, what is it, 3 letters in? So
yep.
We going to let Terrell go at this point?
Yes.
Move on.
We can move on to Kevin, which is actually kind of related to what we're just talking. Well, not.
Oh.
We'll see. So.
Okay.
Kevin says, I have finally admitted to myself that I am a bisexual man.
Ooh. Okay.
Is it worth coming out to family and coworkers about this?
Okay, so my personal policy, I think, as I said last week, is if I generally do not discuss my sex life or my home life with you, there's no need to come out to you.
But what about family then?
Family, at some point, you're going to have to let them know something. You know your family in terms of if they've historically only seen you bringing women to the cookout, and all of a sudden you show up with a dude and y'all holding hands and smiling, that could be a mess. Now, your family, they could be like, oh, okay, well, that's what Kevin's doing nowadays. We can get to talk to him about that, but all right, who's this young man? That could be your family, or your family could be messy and be like, oh, what the hell? Not here, Satan. Yeah, I don't know your family. In the workplace, again, unless you're going to put a picture on your desk, or you're bringing someone to the holiday party that goes outside of people's assumptions, I don't know if you need to come out. I think even if you don't discuss your personal life, like who you're dating, who you happen to be sleeping with your coworkers, you don't have to say anything. You may just show up at the holiday party with your man, if that's who you're dating at the time. Or you can show up with whoever you're dating. It could be a woman this time, a man next time. And at that point, you are now out. They might ask you, like, so are you bi, or did you recently come out as gay?
Yeah.
We don't, I mean, and at that point, obviously, there's something they probably need to know at that point. And not so much to be in your business, but just to kind of, oh, okay. Because the assumption with coworkers is that we're all straight, and we're not. And yes, I think with family, you know your family. You may need to say something to them. With coworkers, not so much. Unless, you know how to read the room. You know what the environment is there.
Yeah, well, if it's a safe place.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not, then obviously you're coming to the Christmas party alone or with a beard. And your boyfriend or your husband is not going to be on your desk. You're not going to have any of your coworkers as Facebook friends. And those pictures of the two of you and where you went last week, or just you kissing in front of the sunset, those are not going to be visible to them. And possibly not even to family. I don't know.
Yeah, which, wow.
Yeah. What are you comfortable with people knowing, and what people need to know? And what do they need to know? That's all I got.
Well, for me, I'll start with the workplace. To me, to me, if it's a safe place for you to come out, I would say come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't think there should be a limit, like, well, I can't have a picture on my desk because of this and because of that. To me, it's like, if every other bitch has got a picture, I can have a picture too. So I do think it's, to me, I would say come out to your coworkers. Again, if it's a safe spot. If you're going to lose your job, well, then no. But, or if it's going to cause all kind of drama. So I think, because to me, here's a thing that I don't think there's enough bisexual people that bother to come out, because I think they kind of hide behind, like, especially if they are married, mm-hmm. and and their spouse knows they're bisexual. What I don't like about that is usually what happens is they're married and they get all the benefits of being perceived as being heterosexual, but then they come and they dip into the gay side when they want some dick or something, mm-hmm. but they're not dealing with any of the hardships that come with it, and then they get to escape back into the heterosexual world. So I don't like that part. I don't like that.
Yeah, it's problematic.
To me, you come out and you have, and you deal with some of the difficulties that come with that. I think the more people will come out, the less drama or whatever it is you're going to get from other people. I think there has to be a little bit more of a shakeup. I don't know if a shakeup is the correct word, to that everybody who is married to is married. Doesn't mean that they are heterosexual. Doesn't mean that they are monogamous. I just think just shake it up. Just put it out there. And again, always if it's a safe thing. I do think with the family, yes, you do have to, because you don't want to be hiding folks. You don't be lying. You don't be, coming up with stories and making this up. Like, just tell the truth. You know, just come out and let them handle it, basically. Or figure out how to handle it if they have an issue with it.
And you brought up a great point with the whole idea of just because someone is married does not mean that they're heterosexual or monogamous.
Right. There are so many poly couples out there.
Ooh, quite a few.
And I'm shocked about. Yeah, that I'm shocked about. Just mm-hmm. listening to other podcasts, I'm like, okay, in the gay world, I didn't realize that how much there seems to be in the heterosexual world. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually... And I mean, that's really kind of frontier. I mean, polyamory and all that, it's been around. But I think it's now kind of coming out into the popular...
The open.
Yeah. It's not so hidden. It's not, oh yeah, this is my good friend from college, and yeah, we all, the three of us all live together. No.
Why coming up with stories? You're grown. You're coming up with stories. So it's just hard for me to...
Yeah, I mean, I look at the whole question of coming out. It's like, it's a personal decision, and you do what you need to do that suits you, and then you go about living. That's really what it comes down to. It may turn out that you really, it's not a good thing for you to come out at work. That may be the case. You do, if you can, you want to be out at work, because it just allows you to bring your full self, and you're not having to worry about monitoring your behavior to where you're, because it takes a lot of energy to kind of monitor and hide and protect things than it does to just be you. And that energy that you're allocating to that might be sapping your energy that could be inspiration, could be innovation, could be that next idea that might take you out of that workplace and having your own business and doing, and living your best life. So weigh all those things and figure out, are you comfortable in your workplace? Is it a safe place to be out? Or would you be comfortable being out there? And just, and it's like, it's not a thing where you're going to be now the best bi friend of so-and-so. It's like, no. I didn't come out for that. I came out because I don't want to focus on keeping secrets here. And I just want to come do my job. And I don't want a whole lot of gum flapping and gasp and all that if I happen to put a picture of a guy, on my desk and we're hugging and, and we're flashing our wedding rings. I don't want to hear all. I don't want all that. So that's why I'm coming out, and I have nothing else to say to you about my personal life. You know, it's, there are ways that you can handle it, but yeah, search your heart on that and figure out how you want to proceed.
Yeah. All right. You want to move on to the next one?
Sure. My next one is from, computer, scroll. I need to replace this computer. Okay, so my next letter is from Anastasia.
Okay.
And Anastasia writes, I'm a trans woman. When I represented as male, I was into women. I had no interest in men. Now that I'm 4 years into my transition, I find myself attracted to some of the men that I encounter. The guys with broad chests and big arms turn me on, as do me. At the same time, I don't know how to approach those guys, and they look like they would kick my ass if they found out I'm trans. Girl, yeah, that's a concern. It's a legitimate one.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how to find guys who are trans attracted, how to find a guy to explore my new interests in sex, and if I like sex with guys, what does this mean? I'm guessing what label we would attach to your orientation would be my guess about what does this mean. I'm just a ball of conflicted feelings, and I don't know how to deal with all of this. Any advice you can give me would be awesome. And I love your show. Thank you, Anastasia. We love that you love the show.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Anastasia, pardon me. She was very clear that it was Stasia. She gave me the phonetic spelling, okay. So I need to respect that. It's Anastasia. So what are your thoughts for Anastasia?
I would say, well, there has to be... So I will just use myself as an example. So if I was interested, because, you know, like, I do not want to deal with people that don't want me. You know, like, let's say if I was dating again. Mm-hmm. And if I was interested in finding a ginger man.
Okay, ginger.
Yeah. To me, I would go to a place where I know, if I could, to where I know that those guys that are in that group would date a black man. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's it.
So I do not have the patience for the BS and trying to wade through all that, trying to find someone who's going to deal with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the same thing for Anastasia. There's got to be a group somewhere online, a meetup group, or some kind of a group that gets together that is focused on dating and relationships, not just friendship, but dating and relationships, so that you all that other BS of people who I can't date a trans woman, and, you know, you worrying about that they might beat your ass down or something like that. Just get past all that. Find a group online. Find a group in your meetup group or something. Mm-hmm. There has to be. It's got to be easier now than it ever has been.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me would be... I don't know. The conflicted feelings, I don't know what to say about that. Don't hide them. Don't deny them. Don't push them down. If they're there, explore them and see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that may be all I got to say to her. Okay. Miss Anastasia.
Yeah, Anastasia, your letter definitely spoke to me, because I was like, wow, this is a lot to handle.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a gender transition of some kind. And so that on its own is a lot. But when your sexual orientation and your sexual interests are also changing, you're basically contemplating coming out of the closet. But also...
Two times, kind of, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's another big coming out of the closet, but it's also a huge change as well. I mean, it's a lot to process, and I think you're in process right now. In terms of finding the guys, I've had these conversations many times with different trans women, and they are all of different opinions about it. One of the places you can certainly go would be, you can visit the local drag bar, especially on trans night. Now, the issue with that is you're going to come across a lot of chasers, and these are guys that are just going to basically fetishize you in that way that's really kind of predatory. I won't say all of them will do that, but, you know, there's a much greater chance of that. But you will find your tribe. You'll find some guys that are very into you, and there is no one look for men that are, who are trans attracted. I mean, they run the gamut. I have seen some men where you're like, wow, okay. And so, where you're just like, wow, didn't see that coming. And, you know, we're talking about muscle-bound guys. We're talking about, you know, nerdy professors. We're talking about hardcore butch leathermen that are like, yeah, I am into my lady, and she has some bonus parts, you know? And so they're out there. That's the first thing I'll say. Another option in terms of finding those men would be, if there is a sex-positive group in your town or in your area, in your city, consider joining that, because at the very least, you're going to encounter men that have either clearly defined sexual interests and appetites, that are like, oh yeah, I'm willing to explore this and this with you, but I don't do that. So they're going to have a very clear idea of who they're attracted to, what they like to do. They're going to have their areas of expertise where they can probably teach you some things and help you to expand and really map out what is your, you know, what are your sexual likes and interests now, because your hormones are different. Stuff is gonna feel different. You're gonna feel differently about sex now that you have the hormonal makeup of a woman. It's just different from what I understand. And so there's a lot of learning and exploration that you need to do. I think if you can do that in a sex positive environment, that really helps. You may even find a couple that is interested in exploring some things, because you didn't say you don't have any interest in women. You know, maybe your interest has changed a bit, but you may still have some interest in a certain amount of sexual activity with women. You may not, but there certainly is interest there with men. Don't get too caught up on your physical type early on. Like, you know, that really limits your options. I've had to learn that over the years, that I have my fantasy man, but there are a lot of men out there that can get it done. It's just, and I also find that when I'm in the middle of sex with someone, I, what they look like just kind of loses its importance to me. It's all about what we doing and how I feel. It's not, I mean, it's like, I'm like, I don't like rail thin men that are just real skinny that I can get my arms around and maybe even damn near grasp my elbows. I don't look for that. I don't even look for men that are really short, but a fire hydrant loves me, you know? And so
fire hydrant,
a fire hydrant. Yes. I've dated some nice fire hydrant gentlemen over the years, and they are incredibly sexy. They're just shorter than what I would have liked, but their height didn't matter.
You can't climb
me.
Them, right?
I can't climb them. That's it, you know? But otherwise they are stunningly beautiful, handsome men. They are, you know, magnificent lovers. They are great guys to sit there and talk with and even consider building a life with. They just don't look exactly the way that I want them to. That ain't stopping shit. Now, if I'm just looking for, you know, to get my nut, then I might be a bit more discerning about it. But even then, I'm like, you know what? I'm getting freak vibes from you, so let's do this. And I'm usually right. It's like, you know, I'm like, if that is my intention, if I'm just trying to have some fun, freak vibe is more important than what you look like to me. Within reason. There have been folks I'm like, yeah, I this is not working for me. But, yeah. So, just beware of that. Definitely, I encourage you wholeheartedly to seek out a sex positive community. There will be men there that are just really nice guys, and maybe you don't have a sexual relationship, but they know other nice guys that would appreciate you. In a sex positive community, people talk about stuff with one another that you don't normally talk about. So you talk about what turns you on. You have, you know, men that'll say, oh yeah, you know, I am all about women, but put me in some lingerie, we can do this, you know. And it's like, it the lingerie gets my dick hard, keeps it hard, and I am ready to tear up, you know, some ass. And their whole thing is that's their fetish, but it doesn't mean that they have any less interest in women. It just means that he likes a little lace on his parts. And, you know, and his friends will know that. And I say that because there is a good chance that some of the men in this community, their friends in that community are going to know, oh yeah, he doesn't mind, you know, having sex with a woman, you know, who has a penis. Whether that's a masculine penis or a feminine penis, it's a penis. So yeah, I think that try to find a sex positive community. And I think it would also just really be affirmative for you in general as you're exploring all this. Even if you don't, you're going to probably have sex with someone in that community ultimately, because it's sex positive. It's like, hey, I'm into you, let's do this. So that's kind of a given, but I think finding your tribe will be really helpful to you. Yeah. So, and I think the conflicted feelings, I get it. It's a lot of change to process. I get it. But, you know, I think at this point, Anastasia needs to decide, and not decide, but figure out, explore whether you're adding men and male representing people to your sexual universe, and whether you're subtracting women or female representing folks from your sexual universe. And I say representing because you could actually be, what is it? I can't think of, Janelle Monáe just came out as this, and I can't think of this is why I hate my memory nowadays. But there is a term for that. Oh, pansexual. You might find that you've really kind of evolved into pansexuality, or maybe that was dormant within you. And you could decide, yeah, I'm not really into women this way. I can make out with one. I can maybe lick on a nipple, but I don't want to dive. You know, you used to like to dive. Now you don't. You know, maybe you want to play on a pole now. That's fine. More than anything, Anastasia, just figure out what works for you. And once you've found it, go get it safely and enjoy it. And I really applaud you for the courage and making the transition, and for also being willing to explore your sexuality, because it could change on you. And it has. So, that's all I got for Anastasia. Good looking out, girl.
Yes.
All right. Have fun out there now, but protect yourself and recognize that it's a different world. But that's another show altogether. All righty. You got another one?
Yes.
Okay, and we're at about an hour and 23 minutes right now, so.
We can make this one the last one.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So this one is from Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a masculine 32-year-old gay guy.
Okay.
And I wonder if my barber may be gay.
Ooh.
I catch him looking at my ass when he got out of his chair.
Uh-huh.
I see him staring me up and down. I feel like he could be gay, but he hasn't asked me any personal questions or anything because I haven't told him about my sexual preference.
Okay.
I started to be curious how he would respond if I try to make a move on him or express interest in him. Am I thinking too much into this situation, or could my barber potentially be gay or bi curious?
Okay.
So this is Nathan. He's 32-year-old, masculine gay guy.
Okay. So Nathan, you are like, you're in that weird space because the barbershop is a special place. I guess my first question to you is, if you are, because you're interested in seeing where it might go, and it might just be a quickie in the back room, I don't know. Y'all could leave some fluids on the barber chair, I don't know. But given the relationship that I'm guessing, this is Nathan black?
I assume they're all black.
Okay. So yeah, that's it's like, yeah. Okay, so Nathan, given the relationship that we have as black men with our barber, you have to determine whether or not you're willing to lose him in the interest of dick. I'm just saying. This could result in a divorce. And somebody new being broken in on how to cut your hair and possibly trim your beard. Now, yeah. I think that if it's just the two of you in the shop, you can have chit-chat and you can direct the conversation in ways that will maybe give you some insight into what's going on. You know, he's probably just as nervous as you are because you are a customer and he don't want to mess with his money. And exactly. He may not want to compromise relationship because, you know, y'all could mess around and then and even start dating and then stuff gets ugly and it gets weird. Yeah. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're like, I can't be in here. But one of my moves that I rather enjoy when getting a haircut, because haircuts are very erotic to me. You know, if you had any scissors up on my earlobes, it's like, oh shit. Now, there is this wonderful thing called the hand rest on some of the old school barber chairs. And barbers, when they have to get in tight to do very specific work, they will kind of lean over you. And, you know, if he's interested, he is going to make sure, if your hand is placed at the end of that thing, he's going to make sure that his crotch rubs your hand. It's just gonna happen. And you don't want to flinch up and be like, ah, you know, you just want to play it cool. And if you cool, and he realizes you cool, and he leaves it there, and y'all cool, it has now been communicated that this
that you're okay with
that. Mm-hmm.
You're okay with this?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, I was a precocious young thing, and I used to go to a barber, and he was like this old school, you know, hog head cheese eating brother. He was a character. But he used to wear them polyester jeans, or not jeans, but polyester slacks with his little barber smock on. And I got many, many a fist job on that chair. And I wasn't mad. I was not mad. And I wasn't necessarily into him. You know, he kind of looked like a low-budget J. Anthony Brown. But I was just like, ooh, a penis other than my own. Okay. So it's like, there is value in the barber chair. There are things that can be done. There is a certain intimacy and closeness that you get with another man who's cutting your hair. Was one of the tumblers that I was just on, the other day had a collection of pictures of this brother who was cutting different guys' hair, and he just had on his basketball shorts and had his little underwear waistband showing over the waistband of the shorts.
The barber or the person getting their haircut?
The barber. And oh. He was topless and you know, and a lot of the men he was cutting were also topless. I think one of them had a shirt on, but they were all, you know, in their ball shorts, and I'm just like, ooh, you know, and it was like, I understood why it was posted. It was very much erotic. It was very homoerotic to me. And I just said, ooh, this is a hot little thing, and I can't see not a single dick. I'm not getting a dick print. I'm not getting any ass crack. I'm not getting anything, but this shit is hot. So there's that whole domain with the barber is ripe with sexual tension. If that's what's going on, then, you know, put your hand there. He'll see it. Palm down, please. Palm down. Don't be a tramp about it.
Don't have like a cup. Don't make a cup out of your
yeah. Now, your I did that. I did that with one of my masseuse in one of my favorite places to visit. And, you know, that damn near came with a full-scale hand job, which was very scandalous. Oh. But I was just in that space. And, you know, I was like, ooh, your Magnum PI look is wearing me out. It's just like, it, you know, and I just said, I wonder. And I just, you know, because I'm lying there on my stomach and I have my hands at my arms at my sides. I just have my palms up. And, you know, he would have to reach over me to grab my side and kind of, you know, knead it back to the middle, and his crotchage would, you know, find its way up on my palm, and, you know, I just kind of reached out and took the head out and played with it for a while. You know, it's just like, and I was like, I remember on the table just like, ooh, why are you being a tramp? You are being a straight up tramp. But I have been wanting to do this for the last 2 years, so I'm.
And he didn't object, though.
He did not object. Okay. Asked me if I wanted to go to dinner with he and the husband later, and I said if I were here by myself, I'd be all over it.
Well, it was to go just be dinner, though.
No, it wasn't gonna be. It wasn't. No, every time I've had a three-way with a couple, it's always started with dinner. You know. They want to treat me like a respectable hoe. So, yeah. And I respect that. We all know what's going to go down, but I appreciate being treated like a lady, so to speak. you know. And so, but yeah. And I mean, I know the first actual couple, you know, we're just sitting there having dinner and, you know, and one of them looks at me and smiles like, so, you know, have you ever had sex with, you know, two guys at one time? And I said, I have, but never with a committed couple. And he was like, oh, did you want to change that? I said, absolutely. And there we were. And I had a good time. And then watched Saturday Night Live after we were one of them. And so, yeah. You know, and it was just, it was great. It was cool, you know. But, yes, I would say to...
You think you should go for it? Or try.
Yeah, I mean, Nathan, there are ways for you to make this connection without it just being this overt thing. It's like he put his crotch on your hand, not the other way around.
Yeah. Now, if he asks you to move it, then maybe that's a sign. But who knows? I mean, he could still be gay and may still be uncomfortable. But
yeah, and see, that's the thing. If he does put it on there and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, you'd be like... Oh man, you all right? It was cool. That's all you gotta say, because that could be taken more than one way. And if he's interested, he's like,
oh, "You might put it back."
Yeah, he might. You know, he might. It might happen to land there again, and maybe the next time he don't say nothing, and then maybe a conversation expands, and it may still be another two visits before anything goes down.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen in the first one. I don't think that. I think it's going to have to test out the waters first.
Yeah, unless somebody is just very overt in something they say, it's definitely going to be a slow burn. But ooh, when it catches fire, you need to write back, Nathan. I'm just saying.
Yes, you do.
We need an update. All y'all that are sent, we need updates from y'all. I'm feeling a bit, you know, taken advantage of here. I need details. I need dirt. So, but okay.
Well, I say he go for it, follows your advice, and, you know, because it's going to bug you if you don't do something.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't try something, if you don't, it's going to keep bugging unless, you know, because if he's afraid and you're afraid, well, afraid may not be the right word, but just hesitant, you know, ain't nothing's going to happen. So.
Okay. That's it. Yeah. I mean, there, you don't have to just grab the guy and, you know, and all that.
Whip his dick out or something.
Yeah. I mean, if you know, if it's appropriate, then you can go and grab the dick. I mean, you know, and then, well, I'm grabbing dick now. We are men. It's what we do. We either grab a dick or we grab a pussy. That's what we do. We grab titties. We grab asses. Grab what you want. Now, just understand there are consequences for grabbing. You know, you got to be halfway respectable about it. And respectful. So, yeah. But okay. But yeah, so nothing. I know I covered a lot there in my initial response. So nothing else on that, Dark Boy?
No, I think, I mean, yeah, what you say again, he has to do something if he's interested in the barber and he thinks the barber may be interested in him. You've got to do something to figure it out.
Yeah.
Either he makes a move, you make a move, you do something, but something, you got to do something. Otherwise you're going to torture yourself wondering what the deal is. So
yeah, closed mouth don't get fed. You know, as my mama told me last night, it don't get fed, honey. It'll wither and die. Better open it up. In this case, be proactive and discerning and open to possibilities. And then you will be just fine. Whether, you know, and whether it works out or it doesn't, now you know you can move on. I think that's the other part of it. Okay, but I think that wraps up our first mailbag episode.
I think so.
Yay, we survived.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
If, now, for anybody that wants to send us questions for the next episodes or maybe for the next mailbag episode, send an email to sexualhealingpod@gmail.com.
That's it.
And then I think Dr. Pookie will go over our social media.
Contact. I shall. And if you want to actually get in touch with us in those social media corners, you may reach us on Twitter @podsexual. See how I got that right the first time? unlike last week where I couldn't say the shit to save my
last
life.
Last 2 weeks.
Was it 2 weeks? Okay.
I think so.
I was like, goodness, what is the problem here? Podsexual on Twitter. You can also reach us on Sexual Healing Pod on Instagram. And you can find us on Facebook under Sexual Healing from Top to Bottom. And I believe that covers all of our social media platforms. And as Dark Boy said, you know, letters, sex, life, love, job, career, even, you know, how to hang in a church, because we know that's always going to be an issue. you know, send them on in. Sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. Also, if you're listening to the show and you want a live tweet, I've actually never suggested that. You know, use the hashtag, we will say, what, sexual healing? Yeah, #sexualhealing. And also, we'll be using the hashtag pods by QPOC or PODSBYQPOC, which stands for Pods by Queer People of Color. And that is also .com. And thanks again to our boy Trilificent over at Gay Side Stories and Ratchet Ramblings for setting that up and hopefully connecting all of you with the content that you desire. So, did you have a word for us in closing, Dark Boy?
Nope. Just my normal, well, my normal thing, you know, be good to yourself, be good to everybody else.
Okay. And you know mine. Be a blessing, baby. Not a curse.
Not a curse.
All right. So, y'all have a good one. when you hear this, I will be in Boston working like a slave. However, I will be away from these fucking mosquitoes that are thinking I'm a filet mignon. I have gotten 2 new bites while sitting here recording the show this morning. Ain't enough calamine lotion in the world for this shit. These damn South American mosquitoes are wearing me out. But they have invaded Southern California and they're not going anywhere. And
I these suppose bitches I ain't bite. Having them, so.
Yeah, and they're not nocturnal. They bite in the middle of the day. I finally got a chance to read the article. I was just like, I said, oh, this is not cute. This is not cute at all. So they are just devouring me. I need to eat some more garlic. And, you know, apparently the over-the-counter stuff is not working for a lot of people. They've been going to urgent care because they're getting bitten so much. So, but okay. For those all of y'all right. that are not in Southern California, blessings. I'm a little jealous. But all right. So,
all right.
Be good, y'all. Have a great week. We love you.
Yep. All right. Till next time.
All right. Many blessings.